First John chapter 2. Are you going to listen or hear? 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Would you read it with me? Little children, it is the what? Last hour, and you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Now, why is the Antichrist coming? Because it is the what? Last hour. Ooh. See, he's referring to a time. Are we in the last hour? So he's letting us know that the Antichrist is coming. Now, he doesn't mean in the area of Satan being thrown out of the throne room of God. He's talking about the area where he's going to be exposed. Even now, many what? Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Now, there is the spirit of Christ, and there is the spirit of Antichrist. Now, we know that the word Christ means anointed one. And Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit, right? So we understand that because it is the last hour, and I'm going to share with you why we are in this arena of what we call last hour, that we know that the Antichrist spirit is getting stronger. He's infiltrating even more than he's ever infiltrated before. Watch. Go to the next verse. What does it say? They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. Wow. See, so the Antichrist spirit is taking people out of God's presence. Now, the first fruit of the spirit of Antichrist is rebellion. Wherever you are rebelling, it's because you're coming in agreement with the spirit of Antichrist. Now, the spirit of Antichrist is a familiar spirit. Are you hearing me? Why? Because he tries to portray himself as the Holy Spirit. But he's actually a counterfeit. See, so when you touch something counterfeit, you automatically rebel. Why? Because you've touched and come in agreement with the voice of the stranger of the Antichrist spirit. Does everybody understand this? Now, there's more to this, and I just want you to get this understanding. And we've talked about some of this already. Now, go to verse 20. It says, but you have a anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Now, listen, if you are truly walking in a true anointing of God, you are going to know all things. Are you hearing me? Other than that, you are associating with a familiar spirit of Antichrist. We have a wonderful teaching called Mixed Anointing. And what was the last one we just did? Breaking what? Oh, cultural ties. What's associated with that also? But the reason right now he's talking about in that area that the Antichrist spirit is getting stronger is because he's penetrating more. The Antichrist spirits are really after and coming against the move of God's spirit, isn't he? And he's trying to get individuals out of the presence of God by bringing a counterfeit spirit known as an Antichrist spirit or a familiar spirit, so they begin to be moved by emotion or works of the flesh that they don't even know they're doing. And there's a specific reason why this is happening, and it's because of the season that we are in. And I'm going to share with you what season that is. Is everybody okay now? So you got to understand it. Even now, more and more and more, that spirit of Antichrist is, he's unleashed. And he's going after those who are walking in the Spirit to move them out of the Spirit. The Bible tells us that many will fall from the faith, taking heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons in the last days. Are we in the last days? Let me tell you, we're in the last minutes. And what this Spirit does is promote rebellion. Does everybody get it? Rebellion. Breaks vows, breaks covenants, does its own will, relies on its own reasoning. And it moves the believer who was once walking in the Spirit into another realm of familiarity. And it's a cult realm. It is a demonic realm. It is a witchcraft realm, because the Bible says that rebellion is what? witchcraft. You understand? And these are taken dominion by principalities and territorial spirits that are coming against the minds of believers. And these are antichrist spirits. Has everybody got it? Okay. Now we're going to go somewhere else. Go to Matthew 16. Well, see, we must expose the devil. It's our responsibility. And when the Holy Spirit began to give me this, I was thinking, man, but it all had to do with a season. I couldn't understand why he kept bringing me back to 1 John chapter 2 and the Antichrist spirit. And he kept saying, guys, it's the last hour. It's the last hour. There's going to be more Antichrist spirits. Remember, he said that many are going to come and say they're the Christ. In other words, I'm a believer and I walk right, but yet they're not. He said that even Satan himself comes as an angel of light. And many of his ministers are righteous ministers, but yet they're walking in an Antichrist spirit of rebellion. It's called a spirit of error also. In Matthew 16, in verse 13, is everybody there? Let's read this together. Now when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? That's where that's that personal walk, that personal, truly personal walk with him. See, because if you know that who he is, there's some connection in this arena. It's almost like an umbilical cord that's connected between you and him. And there are times when there's no word spoken, but you know what his will is. See, because in the spirit, things don't have to be spoken. They're known. That's where you don't rebel. You submit. The Bible says, submit to God and resist the devil. That's where the cloak of humility comes in, where you're willing to submit no matter what. See, this is the difference between people getting revelations that puff them up instead of getting a revelation that humbles them. The ones from God humble them. The ones from the devil is an antichrist spirit, a familiar spirit, and it puffs them up. Well, I've been a believer 30 years. Well, you're an idiot. The moment you promote your long relationship with the Lord, it exposes the spirit of Antichrist. I hear. Hi, I'm such and such. We're his children. We're sons and daughters of the Most High God. This guy, I was leaving jail today, and he came up to me and said, would you pray for me? And I anointed him and prayed with him. And he said, thanks, Reverend. I stopped and turned around. I said, Reverend? He said, brother, don't you ever call me Reverend again. I said, there's only one Reverend, and that's the King of Glory, Reverend. And he looked at me, and he stared and looked at me, and he went, and he turned around and hugged me. And he said, thank you. I don't know where he come from or what his circumstance was, but I said, don't you dare call nobody Reverend. Anybody that promotes themselves a Reverend, I ain't going there. But who do you say that I am? And Simon answered and said, you are the Christ, the anointed one and his anointing. You are the living, walking power of God Almighty here on the earth. You are he who was the who is the Word, who became flesh and walked here and brought all eternity within you. And you hold all things in you. You are the Christ. And Jesus answered and said, well, let me tell you this, brother. Blessed are you, Simon. Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say that you are Peter, and on this rock or this revelation, I want you to change this world, build this word, build. It's an area of build, but it's an area where he says birth. And on this rock, on this revelation that I am the Christ, I am the anointed one, and his anointing, and it's the anointing that's going to build my church. But I'm telling you, on this day that it happens, I'm going to birth my church. It will be the birthday of my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And when this happens, there's something I'm going to do. I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Why? Because this is a feast called Pentecost that he's talking about that will be fulfilled. But first we know that he must fulfill the other two feasts of Passover and unleavened, and then first fruits. Genesis 2. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 21. Would you all read this together with me? And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now the bone of my bones and the flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." So we see here that the woman was taken out of the rib of Adam. Okay, so I just want you to understand that things in the Old Testament are always shadows of things that are to come. So in true reality, it's speaking about the bride that was going to be birthed. God was going to birth a bride, wasn't he? He brought Adam's wife. Okay, now go to John 19. John 19 and verse 31. And Jesus was hanging on the cross, and his last words were, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. And in verse 31 it says, "And therefore it was the preparation day that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was a high day. The Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then the soldiers came by and broke the legs of the first and the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead, and they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out." He was pierced in an identical place where the rib of Adam was taken in the Old Testament. It was a representation of God, Jesus, paying the price so that he could birth his bride. Because there was a price to pay. Are you hearing me? He was pierced. In other words, he was going to birth. You know, when a woman goes in labor, there's pain. And he was going to not only birth his physical church, but he was getting prepared to birth his spiritual church. Are you hearing me? Let's go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And it said that water and blood came out of his side, right? 1 John chapter 5. In verse 6. "And this is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit, and these are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, in the natural realm." The word heaven means spirit realm. The word earth means natural realm. "And there are three that bear witness in the natural realm, the spirit, the water, and the blood. And these are all agree as one." So we see here that the Christ who came in from the spirit realm into the natural realm, he came not only to remove the sins for mankind. Let me tell you, when Daddy comes, he does it all. And he paid the price so that a new covenant could come, and that he can birth not only his bride off of the cross and give them opportunity, but he could birth not only the physical arena, but in the spiritual arena, which was to come. Is everybody okay? Now, when Jesus was telling them, "Who do you say that I am?" and he got the revelation that you are the Christ, the purpose of Jesus on the cross was to release the Spirit of Christ for each and every one. Does everybody understand? And in this, when he said, "You are the Christ," well, it was a representation in the area where God was going to pour out his Spirit. And we know that there was a specific feast known as a specific season that would have to come to pass to do this. And that's what he came, was to fulfill the feast of the Lord. Now, we've talked about the feast, and I want to share with you a couple of things. And you can look through this in Leviticus 23. I'm not going to go to every single feast, but you can look there. In Leviticus 23, it talks about the feast. Now, there are seven feasts of the Lord, and the number seven means complete and perfect. Now, there are spring feasts, and there is this feast of Passover, which is a spring feast, the feast of unleavened bread, and the feast of first fruits. Passover representing Jesus dying on the cross. Now, these feasts are what we call appointed times. They are called seasons. Seasons. Signs are cosmic things in the heavenlies. And the seasons are associated with the feasts of the Lord. And these feasts of the Lord, every believer should know. Because they are God's appointed times in every area. And again, I want to share with you, when they said that you are the Christ, and Peter got the revelation, Jesus said, that's right. And I'm going to build my church on that revelation. How is he going to build his church on? By the Spirit. Are you hearing? And he was going to build it associated with a specific appointed time called the Feast of Pentecost. That's when the church was birthed. Okay? So we see here that the spring feasts are Passover, which is the cross. Then when Jesus died and went to hell, that's a feast of unleavened, which he fought against the powers of darkness and took the keys of death, hell, and the grave, right? And then the first fruits is when he rose from the dead. Is everybody okay? Now, that was the spring feast. From the moment he rose from the dead, another feast started. It was called the Feast of Weeks. In this Feast of Weeks, there are 7 weeks. Is everybody with me? There are 7 weeks. From the day that Jesus rose from the dead, 7 weeks had to pass, and then would come the Feast of Pentecost, which means 50 days. Of course, 7 weeks is 49, and a day after that is 50, right? Is everybody okay? So in this was called the Feast of Weeks between the first fruits and the Feast of Pentecost is called the Feast of Weeks. In this, it's a harvest time. It is a tremendous harvest time. It is known now as the Age of Grace when it was fulfilled. Are y'all with me? And the next feast to be fulfilled is the Fall Feast. So there's 3 Fall Feasts. And that's Feast of Trumpets, Feast of Atonement, and Feast of Tabernacle. Is everybody okay? Feast of Trumpets, Feast of Atonement, and Feast of Tabernacles. So the feast between the first fruits feast of the spring feast to the fall feast, in between that is 50 days known as the Pentecost, starting from the Feast of Weeks. Is everybody okay? Now, in this, there were 7 weeks, right? Which is 49 days. On the 50th day, Pentecost comes. In fact, the word Pente represents 50. Deuteronomy 16. I want to begin to show you, because what was really put on my heart is, why is there so much antichrist and so many people getting goofy out there and so many people backsliding and going back into the world? Because of the spirit of antichrist. He's a counterfeit spirit. In Deuteronomy 16, start at verse 1. Now we know that this is in the Old Testament, and he's going to explain the feast. He says, observe the month of Abib and keep the what? Passover. That's the first feast. To the Lord your God for the month of Abib, the Lord your God brought you out of what? Egypt. By night. Therefore you shall sacrifice the Passover to the Lord your God from the flock, the herd, and the place where the Lord chooses to put his name. And you shall eat no what? Leavened bread. There's the Feast of Unleavened Bread. With it, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread with it, that it is the bread of affliction, for you came out of the land of Egypt in haste, that you may remember the day in which you came out of the land of Egypt all the days of your life. Now the word Egypt means world. It means worldly. So when you came to Christ, you came out of Egypt, because the ruler of Egypt, the ruler of the world, is Satan. Is everybody okay? Okay, let's keep going. and no leaven shall be seen among you in all your territories for 7 days, nor the first, nor any meat which you sacrifice the first day at twilight remain overnight until morning. You may not sacrifice the Passover with in any of your gates which the Lord your God gives you. But at the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide, there you shall sacrifice the Passover at twilight, at the going down of the sun, at the time you came out of Egypt. And you shall roast and eat it in the place which the Lord your God chooses, and in the morning you shall turn and go to your tents. 6 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a sacred assembly of the Lord your God. You shall do no work on it. You shall count what? 7 weeks for yourself. Begin to count the 7 weeks from the time you begin to put the sickle to the grain. That was the first fruits. Are you hearing me? That was the first fruits feast, was when you put the sickle to the grain. Why? Because it's a part of the harvest. Are you hearing? That's when Jesus rose from the dead. He was known as the what? First fruit. Is everybody okay? So from that moment on, he said, count 7 weeks, right? Which would be the Feast of Weeks. And then the next day would be 50 day fulfilling Pentecost, which would be an enormous harvest. Is everybody okay? Good. Praise God. Now go to Leviticus 25. If you feel a little lost, don't worry about it. You'll get it. And you can always buy the tape. But this is where we're at right now, and this is so important, because we're still in that feast. You know, so many people just think it's a one-day event, not the Feast of Pentecost. Others were a one-day event. Feast of Pentecost goes on for years. It's not finished yet. It was fulfilled, but it's not finished. Until we hit the next feast, then it's finished. Is everybody okay? Good. Now, there's something else associated with 50, and it's called Jubilee. It's called Jubilee. Now, in the Jubilee, it's actually 50 years of Jubilee instead of 50 days. It's 50 years. In Leviticus 25, in verse 11, that 50th year shall be a what? Jubilee. In other words, Jubilee means what? Anybody know? Joyful, Jubilee. Yeah, glory, hallelujah, you know. Doesn't mean miserable day. It means glorious day. Wonderful, joyful, jubilee. In the 50th year, there shall be a jubilee to you. In it, you shall neither sow nor reap what grows of its own accord, nor gather the grapes of its unattended vine. For it is the jubilee. It shall be holy to you. You shall eat its produce from the field. In this year of jubilee, each of you shall return to his possession. Ooh. And if you sell anything to your neighbor or buy from your neighbor's hand, you shall not oppress one another. According to the number of years after the Jubilee, you shall buy from your neighbor, and according to the number of years of crops, he shall sell to you. Now, what I want to share with you is in this Jubilee, because it's a parallel to Pentecost. Now, what happens in the Jubilee is very powerful in the 50 years. This was associated with the Hebrews. Well, in the Jubilee year, they used to take back their possessions. Sound familiar? Debts were canceled. Sound familiar? Are you getting any of this? Slaves were set free. Well, we were a slave to unrighteousness. When the Lord poured out his spirit, did you get set free? Does everybody understand? See, all of these things. It was known as the year of liberty or the year of freedom. Every 50 years associated with the Hebrew law. So we see here that the Pentecost, you see the parallel here, what Jesus was fulfilling in the Feast of Pentecost, the 50th day after he rose from the dead. He was fulfilling a jubilee. Does everybody get it? And so for me and you, now we have the power to return to get back what the devil stole from us. Are you hearing? As long as it's according to his will. Is everybody okay? Now go to Luke 4. Luke chapter 4. And verse 17. I guess we better start at 16. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went out into the synagogue on a Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. In other words, he went there. Oh, he didn't play Bible roulette. He went there. And the scripture that said, it said this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord," which was the year of Jubilee. In other words, what he was saying is, the feast that's coming is going to do this for my people. I'm come to fulfill the feasts. And when my Spirit gets poured out and fulfills the promise of the Father that my Spirit will be poured out, they will have a jubilee. They will be joyful. Their debts will be canceled. Sin. I will give them power to bind and loose and take dominion over darkness. I will disarm the principalities for their sake, that they can walk the way I walk. But it won't be done by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. And only by my Spirit. And if you're in position, it's coming to you. If you're out of position, you'll miss it. Are you with me? Praise God. Acts chapter 2. So Jesus came to proclaim the year of Jubilee. Does everybody got it? Why? He was fulfilling it. To do what? To fulfill all the feasts and release his Spirit to each and every one to fulfill the Feast of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2. And let's go to Acts 1. I think we better get this a little bit here. In verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them what? Not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the what? Promise of the Father. Which he said, "You have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." What was he talking about? Fulfilling the Feast of Pentecost. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at that time restore the kingdom of Israel?" But he didn't come to restore the kingdom of Israel. He came to bring the kingdom of God. Does everybody understand? And go to verse 8. He said, "But you shall receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Now, go to Acts 2. So he said, you shall receive what? Power. In verse 1. When the day of what? Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now I want you to understand again that Jesus told 500 of his disciples to go and wait in Jerusalem, hang out in the upper room and wait for the promise. Only 120 of them listened. The 380 heard, but didn't do it. But 120 listened and obeyed God. The other ones went to the physical feast where they were all celebrating in the natural. But Jesus was coming to bring not only a new covenant, but a new testimony and a new testament. Are you hearing? No, you better be listening. See, the 380 were hearing but didn't obey. Only 120 were listening. And they went to the upper room. And this is what happened. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared upon them divided tongues of fire and sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They began to go, Rahashitiri Rabagosono Magalabiya Romoso. Amen. Verse 14. Now, what do we say Jubilee was? Jubilee. You know, bubbling over, man. So we see here that the fulfillment of the Feast of Pentecost was 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead. The Feast of Weeks, which was 7 weeks, then the next day was Pentecost, right? Also see here with the harvest. In verse 14, then Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and, you know, and said to the men of Judea, this was right after they all slam dunked in the Holy Ghost in the upper room, and they come staggering out laughing because they had holy fire. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, because they were mocking him, thinking, man, you guys are drunk up there. How can you be drinking this early in the morning? He said, man, we're not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days. When? The last day. So why would the Antichrist be even stronger in the last days? Because he knows the feasts. And he knows that this will bring in the largest harvest ever. Do you understand? It will bring in this feast, which is still going on from that day. Now, it's been a long time, hasn't it? It's been a long feast. And it's still going on. Right? From that point on would bring in the largest harvest ever. So the spirit of Antichrist wanted to start some religious organizations. He started denominations. He started all kinds of stuff proclaiming self-religion in the name of God. And he infiltrated. And he stopped the belief that people can get baptized in the Holy Ghost and get healed, cast out devils, raise the dead. Do you understand? He infiltrated. And he caused much division. Promoted the spirit of error and familiar spirits. Where people began to worship their denomination instead of King of Glory. They began to worship their works instead of the King of Glory. They didn't know how to walk in the presence of God. They couldn't cast out a devil. They didn't have a prayer language. It was stolen by the spirit of Antichrist. Where God gave us the gift of tongues that speak directly to him. And people became complacent and compromised. And became worldly. And the Antichrist spirit now began to bring the world into the body of Christ. And began to act like the world. And much damage has been done. But God is pouring out the latter rain now. Where there's going to be more power, more fire, more desire to do his will at all costs. Where the life of an individual is no longer important. It's the life of Christ in the individual. And he said, it shall come to pass in the last day, says God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall what? Prophesy. Wow. Now we know that we are close to the end, don't we? See, this is known as the early rain. And it says, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. Flood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into the blood before the coming and the great awesome day of the Lord, which is the day of atonement. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the day of judgment, the day of atonement. So we see between the Feast of Pentecost to the Feast of Trumpets, okay, there's going to be tremendous revival. Now, it doesn't mean 1 year, because the Feast of Trumpets hasn't been fulfilled yet. So the Feast of Pentecost is still in action. Are you hearing? And once the Feast of Trumpets comes, it will stop. It will remove the church, and I'm not going to talk all about trumpets tonight. And then atonement will step in, and there'll be no more grace. There'll be judgment. Because we are in the age of grace. He is the Spirit of grace. He is known as the Spirit of Christ. He says he's given us all things. See, the Spirit of Christ now brings you wisdom, knowledge, and understanding so that you know all things. That's why you must have fellowship with the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, and not the Spirit of Antichrist who comes as a counterfeit. Is everybody okay? Now, the word church here, so we see here the day of Pentecost is the day that the church was birthed. The word church means called out ones, right? Two things happened on the day of Pentecost. The church was birthed and the bride was engaged. The church was birthed and the bride was engaged. Are you hearing me? There was an engagement. That's why when we do rings and ceremonies of weddings, it's a seal, the Holy Spirit, to represent when somebody gets engaged. Not at the wedding, but when they get engaged, they put a ring on, don't they? Oh, I'm engaged. You know? So what it is, it's a seal of promise. Waiting for the wedding, right? Go to Hosea 2. See, that's why it's so important to constantly let people know about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. See, once the Feast of Trumpets comes, that feast is over with. There'll be no more baptizing in the Holy Ghost. Are you hearing? No, are you listening? Hosea 2 is just for you. That's why the spirit of Antichrist is running rampant right now. Why? Because he's coming against the feast, the season that we're in. And we're staying in this season until trumpets, which is the rapture of the church. Hosea 2, verse 16. And it shall be in that day, says the Lord, that you will call me my what? Husband, and no longer call me my master. Yeah. For I will take from her mouth the names of the Baals, which are pagan gods. And they shall be remembered by their name no more. And that day I'll make a what? Covenant for them. With the beasts of the field, with the birds of the air, and with the creeping things of the ground. Bow and sword of battle I will shatter from the earth to make them lie down safely. I will betroth you or engage you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. It shall come to pass in that day that I will answer, says the Lord, I will answer the heavens, and they shall answer the earth. The earth shall answer with grain, with new wine, with more oil. They shall answer Jezreel. Then I will sow her for myself in the earth, and I will have mercy on her who had not obtained mercy. Then I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people. And they shall say, you are my God. Why? By the Spirit. This is all what's going on right now. And will continue to go on till the next feast. This is associated with the engagement of the Gentiles who were lost in Israel, the Jew. Has everybody got it? And Exodus 17. Exodus 17 and verse 5. Now, the Old Testament is a shadow of things to come, all the way up to the cross. Right? So the Old Testament always led to the cross. It's actually the Old Covenant. Let me explain this. The fruit of covenant is called testament or testimony. So when there is a covenant, there's also a testament or testimony. Does everybody understand? So in the old covenant, there's an old what? Testimony or testament. We call it the, why? Because it was written. It's called the fruit of the covenant. And in the new covenant, there's a new what? Testament, because it is a written. It's a testimony of the covenant. Everything associated with the new covenant, which is written associated with the new covenant, is called a new testament or testimony. Does everybody get it? Okay. So now everything in the old covenant, well, the fruit of the old covenant was the Old Testament, right? It always led to the cross. When Jesus paid the price and fulfilled everything, and on the day of Pentecost, now everything of the new covenant comes from the cross. Everything of the old covenant went to the cross, and everything from the cross, now the new covenant comes from the cross. Does everybody get it? I'm going to say it one more time. I want you to see this, because this is so powerful what he did. Because everything had to be spoken in by prophets, and many of the prophecies that they spoke, they didn't even know what they were saying. They just spoke it. Why? Because they were bringing it in. Isaiah was a prophet of the Son. Jeremiah was a prophet of the Father. Ezekiel was a prophet of the Spirit. And they all spoke it in. But see, everything they spoke was the preparation of going to the cross. When Jesus fulfilled everything on the cross and the feast, now it comes from the cross. See, that's why he birthed you from the cross. That's where he birthed his bride. That's where he birthed his church. And that's where he birthed his covenant. That's why we have a new covenant. That's where he birthed his what? His church, his bride, and his covenant. So everything comes from the cross. Why? When you pray and you talk to God, and in the name of Jesus, he ain't looking at you. He's looking at his Son and what he paid. That's why you got everything. That's why you can get everything and anything. Nothing will be withheld from you as long as you're walking in position or upright with God. Why? Because the Father's not looking at you. He's looking at his Son who brought the new covenant. Everything now comes from the cross. I mean, does everybody get it? And this is what happened in the Old Testament, or the Old Covenant. In verse 5, and the Lord said to Moses, now they're in the wilderness, they've come out of Egypt, right? Go on before the people, they're grumbling and complaining, they wanted a drink. There wasn't any water fountains in the desert. There wasn't a 7-Eleven, there wasn't nothing in there, man. They couldn't order Domino's pizza, nothing, man. In verse 5, and the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand with your rod which you struck the river and go. And behold, I will stand before you there on the rock of Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Now, what did the rock represent? Christ. It represented the Passover. Struck. Do you understand that? He's leading up now. Who got struck? Jesus got struck. What did it produce? It produced the Spirit of Christ. It came out of water, right? Don't you drink the Spirit? That's called the spiritual drink, isn't it? So there was Passover. Go to verse 8. Now Amalek came and fought with Israel and Rehoboam. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out. Fight with Amalek tomorrow. I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua said to Moses, said to him, and fight with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him. And they sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on each side, and then the other on the other side. And his hands were steadily until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. That was Feast of Unleavened. What was it? Who did Jesus defeat? Evil. Did he go to hell and do it? Yes. Do you understand this? So the striking was of the representation of the cross. The fighting was to defeat the devil because Amalek was evil and they destroyed him. Is everybody okay? Huh? Now think about it. Here's Moses, right? Who was on one side? Aaron and Hur was on the other side. When Jesus appeared, who was on both sides of him? Amen. Do you see the resemblance to holding and preparing him up? Why? Because Jesus was getting ready to die on the cross and go to hell, wasn't he? Do you see that the old covenant, Old Testament was a shadow of things to come? Is everybody okay? Good. Go to Exodus 18, verse 14. So, when Moses' father-in-law saw all that Moses did for the people, he said, "What is this thing that you're doing for the people? Why do you alone sit and all the people stand before you from morning until evening?" And Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they had a difficulty, they come to me and I judge between one and another, and I make known the statutes of God and his laws." And Moses' father-in-law said to him, "The thing that you do is not good. Tighten up. Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourself out, son. You'll be dragging out of here, man. For this thing is too much for you. You are not able to perform it by yourself. Listen now to my voice, and I will give you counsel, and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people, so that you may bring the difficulties to God. And you shall teach them the statutes and the laws, and show them the way in which they must walk, and the work they must do. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let them what? Judge the people at all times. Then it will be that every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they shall themselves judge. So it will be easier for you, for they will bear the burden with you. If you do this thing, and God so commands you, then you will be able to endure, and all this people will also go to their place in peace. So what did God do? He raised up judges, didn't he? Now when Jesus rose from the dead, he paid the price for all things, didn't he? And he also rose individuals up so that they could receive the Spirit and do what? Judge. See, it's associated with the first fruits. Does everybody get it? Are you not raised up as judges? Are you not called to be kings and priests? Raise up judges. Now go to Exodus 19, verse 3. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." So Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them all these words which the Lord commanded. Then all the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." So Moses brought back the words from the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I come to you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever." So Moses told the words of the people from what the Lord said to him. Now, I want you to look at something. Because the Bible says that you are raised to be priests and kings, aren't you? See, but he calls here, he says, "Look, you're going to be a special treasure to me. You're going to be a special people. You will be priests in a holy nation." Now, what God was doing here, because this is also Pentecost with them, because Moses was with the Lord 40 days and comes down, this happens 50 days on the 50th day. This is Pentecost in the Old Testament. And we'll talk a little bit about it here. So what does he do? Because he was bringing the law down and so forth. And in this, something bursts. In fact, the exact same day that Pentecost happened with Jesus is the exact same day that this happened, except for many years prior. On this day, Jesus birthed Israel as a nation. And he also birthed covenant with Israel when the people said, we will do what he says. Are you seeing this? In verse 18. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in what? Fire. What happened on the day of Pentecost? Fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. People were quaking in the upper room, man. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke and God answered him by voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountains. And the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. So we see here that the birth of Israel as a nation and covenant and the birth of the church and new covenant was on the same day. Go to Exodus 32, verses 1 through 3. Exodus 32. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together, and Aaron and said to him, come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know when he will come back, basically. And Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings. Man, he didn't give any resistance whatsoever. Did he? He said, come on, let's do it. And break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. Of course, they made a calf. Now, verse 25. Now, when Moses saw that the people were unrestrained as he was coming down, for Aaron had not restrained them, to their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the entrance of the camp and said, whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me. And all of the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him. And he said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, let every man put his sword to his side and go in and out from the entrance to entrance without the camp. And let every man kill his brother, every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. So the sons of Levi did according to the words of Moses, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. Pentecost. 3,000 people were killed because of what they did. Are you hearing? Moses comes down with the law for covenant. And they were worshiping a golden calf. And Moses killed 3,000 men. Now look what happens in Acts 2. I'm just showing you the parallel. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. So are we still in the Feast of Pentecost? Yes, still going on, man. Hasn't stopped. Fire, fall down and kill my neighbor with the Holy Ghost. And when people come against the Holy Spirit, I pray that they get baptized in the Holy Ghost and can't speak in English for 3 days. That every time they open their mouth, they're just praying the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promises to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. So it's a promise, isn't it? And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about how many? 3,000 souls were added to them. Wow. So in the old covenant, when Moses brought down the law, they were worshiping a calf on Pentecost at that period of time, right? And God killed 3,000. Because he was bringing the law. Hello? But when the Lord poured out the Spirit, they got saved. Fulfilling the scripture, the law killeth, but the Spirit brings life. Jesus came to fulfill the law. Again, the Old Testament, the Old Covenant always leads to the cross, and the New Covenant or New Testament comes from the cross. The congregation of Israel and the congregation of Christ share the same birth date on the Hebrew calendar. They are the exact identical day. Same birth date on the Hebrew calendar. The Pentecost feast coming out of in the Old Testament was the coming of his law. And in the New Testament, a new covenant, was the coming of his grace. 50 days after Passover law was Pentecost. When they were released, when they came out of Egypt, does everybody get it? 50 days later. 50 days after Passover. Now you remember that when they were in Egypt, remember they put the blood over the lintels of the door? That was Passover. And they finally had to cut them loose, right? That was basically that was it. After that happened, that was it. Pharaoh cut them loose, didn't he? So they were coming out of Egypt by the blood. 50 days later, God spoke to them by fire on the mountain. Brought down the law and so forth. Does everybody get it? On the exact same day, Israel was birthed. And on the same day, the church was birthed. Pentecost engaged. The engagement was of that day. See, Israel was engaged that day as now as you and I are engaged that day. Go to Ezekiel. I got a couple more. That's it. Ezekiel 36. So now do you understand why the Antichrist spirit is so rampant now? Why? Because the Christ spirit is all over, being poured out more and more and more. Ezekiel 36. Because the spirit gives life and the letter kills. In verse 23, and I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. In other words, when I am reverenced in you. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all the countries or cultures, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean, and I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all of your idols. And I will give you a what? New heart, and put a what? New spirit within you. And I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Why? Because you'll know all things. And you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. That's the pouring out of the Spirit prophesied by Ezekiel. Go to Hebrews 8. Is it still happening? Yes, it is. Hebrews chapter 8. Did you ever talk to somebody and they've been telling you they're whatever, a Christian for a gazillion years, and you know they go to church and keep the pew warm? Or whatever. But they're not free yet. And you know they're not free. See, the Bible says the anointing breaks the yoke. See, the Antichrist spirit will prevent the anointing from flowing. It'll cause an individual to walk in mixed anointing. It'll cause individuals to err. That's why people are still preaching once saved, always saved. Because that is error. That's the spirit of Antichrist. Are you hearing? Why? Because it doesn't bring the fear. There's always a fear and reverence of God. Who you serve when you die is where you go. There is no excuse from that. That's it. You know, what prevents an individual from worshiping God? What prevents an individual from submitting to authority? What prevents an individual from fulfilling a vow? What prevents them? Well, God told me. Well, you idiot. God didn't tell you to break that covenant. God didn't tell you to do that. Are you hearing? That's the spirit of Antichrist. Why? Because its fruit is always rebellion. Always. And it puts people in a soulish state where they are moved by emotion instead of the spirit. They become men pleasers instead of God pleasers. In Hebrews 8, in verse 7. Would you read it with me? For if that first covenant had been what? Faultless, then no place would have been sought for what? A second. Because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a what? New covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will what? Put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. He is not talking about the Ten Commandments. He's talking about the law of the Spirit, which is the commands from the Spirit of how we are to be led, because those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. And none of them shall teach his neighbor, none his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds, and I will remember no more. And in that he says, a new covenant he has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2. I was led to share this because of the importance of knowing where we are right now. You know, we are infiltrating the prison system. The Lord is opening the doors for us to get in there. And the whole thing is to bring the Spirit of Christ in there. Break off the spirit of religiosity. Expose the familiar in the spirit of Antichrist. Where they can come and get filled and have power. Instead of being bound by religion and foolishness and soulishness. Where they can expose their own devils when they pick them up. You know, that's one of the things the devil does. He comes to blind, steal, kill, and destroy, doesn't he? He says, if you know all things, see, but this is where that relationship is. That's where he says, who do you say that I am? See, the more you hang with him, the more his character is in you. There are people who have been believers, and they just do Our Father in the morning and take off. Well, I'm a believer for 49 years, Junior. Oh, really? And what's that thing hanging out of your mouth, homie? That's a cigarette. I'm not bound. Hello? What's that bottle in your pocket? That ain't the Holy Ghost in that bottle. That's not the kind of wine I drink. Why? Not free. Not free. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. See, the thing is people reject the Spirit of the Lord because they're not willing to come to the end of themselves and relinquish the things that are preventing them from walking right with God because they're still trying to fix things in their own life and won't let it go and let God fix it. And what that does is you will reject the Lord and you pick up a familiar spirit. This is how I want to do it. You know, many people say, I'm waiting on God while they're trying to fix things. Yeah, I'm waiting on God. Yeah, let me fix this and fix that and fix this. I'm waiting on God. Yeah, you'll be waiting on God for a long time. See, the thing with the Holy Spirit is he helps you die. Jesus, the alabaster was broken, the box with the oil was for his burial. The Holy Spirit is the oil for your burial and my burial. so that we can come to the end of ourselves and quit fixing our things with our little grubby hands. So that we can truly come to the end of ourselves and watch the hand of the mighty God Almighty move. There isn't anything greater or more joyful than to see the hand of God move in somebody's life, especially your own. But it starts with prayer. That's why he gave you tongues. That's why when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, you get tongues. Why? So you can go pray in tongues until you drop. That's when you get the breakthrough. When you start spitting cotton. You can make yourself a new shawl. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. Would you all read it with me, please? Therefore what? Laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also are living stones and being built up a what? Spiritual house, a what? Oh, didn't he tell that to the Israelites? Wow, and when? Pentecost. Yeah. You also are living stones and being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scriptures. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. The word believe means to follow. If you're not a follower, you're a liar. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, oh, do you see the opposite there? In other words, if you believe, you're going to follow. If you're not a follower, you're disobedient, aren't you? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. But you are what? A chosen priesthood, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That's us. That's the new covenant now. He's speaking about us, the church. Birthed, brand new, yeah. His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his what? Marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but now the people of God. Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. He's talking about me and you. I want to close with 2 Corinthians 3. So are we still cruising in Pentecost, man? You betcha. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Where you be? Where you at? Where you at? What feast you in? 2 Corinthians 3 verse 4. Would you read it with me? And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Glory! Not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? The ministry of the Spirit of God, not a ministry of self. That's why it's the ministry of death now. For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, We use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in the anointing in Christ. Oh, see, there are people who have even accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior who still have the veil on. Are you hearing? I hope you're listening. This veil is still there because it says it's taken away in Christ. That means the anointing is what removes the scales off your eyes. It's the same thing that happened to Saul. He believed, didn't he? He accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, right? 3 days later, Ananias came over. And what did he do? He laid his hands on Saul. Saul gets baptized in the Holy Ghost and the scales come off of his eyes. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit that removes the scales from your eyes. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit that brings circumcision of the heart. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit that empowers you so that the kingdom of God can be manifested in you and through you. It's not eating and drinking, but peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost is the kingdom of God. Look at verse 15. Even so, to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now he's going to tell you who he is. Now the Lord is the what? 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 Oh, hallelujah. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Freedom, liberty. Why? Because truth makes you free. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Is everybody okay? The birthing of the church is the summer feast of Pentecost. It's still going on. And it will continue to go on. And it's our responsibility to constantly be filled with the Spirit of God to keep those scales off. Remember, when there is rebellion towards anything, you've touched and agree with the counterfeit. That's why the devil doesn't want people to worship. Oh, he don't care if you're coming in and keep your blessed assurance warm on that seat. He don't care if you read the Bible all day long. But he does care if you get empowered by the Spirit of God, because he begins to fear you. They will separate you from the world. Oh, keep you from being a man pleaser and maintaining a God pleaser. It will keep you out of the world so that you don't become a lover of the world and the things that, you know how many people are fighting for the material things? You know, if they spend more time in prayer, they'd spend less time having to work. Hello? We're in this feast right now. It's continuing to the Feast of Trumpet. We must let people know about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. When you lead someone to the Lord, don't leave them. Tell them about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Pray with them. At least let them know that it's available to them. It's important. They must be baptized in the Holy Ghost, or they snagged in religiosity and become bound again. And then once they get baptized in the Holy Ghost, they must maintain of infilling of fresh oil. Or that's all you say is more. Amen. Is everybody okay? Did you get it? Remember, the old covenant and the Old Testament led to the cross. The new covenant and the New Testament comes from the cross. You've been birthed off the cross. Take it. It's yours. It's free. You know all things. The anointing will teach you and bring wonderful revelation and joy. Joy, joy, and joy. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word this evening. We are honored and blessed to be your children. And I pray, Father, that those who have not been baptized in your Spirit, that you would visit them and slam them. Lord, I'm asking, Father, in the name of Jesus, the donor are not operating a gift of tongues, that you will give them a desire, because the Bible says, earnestly desire the gifts. Earnestly desire, Lord, that they'll go after you in a mighty way like they've never gone after you before. And that you'll baptize them afresh with fire. Fire. And continue to give them a thirst and hunger for more oil, that fire will continually burn. Free your people, Master. Free your people. And bring revelation, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And we promise to give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed.